The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie where Julia Roberts is a completely unlikable bitch. This is...
Runaway Bride.
No, actually, it's...
Eat, Pray, Love?
No. This one
is... Is it Stepmom?
No, this one.
Oh, I know. It's Mystic Pizza.
No, she's really bad in this one.
It's... Oh, Notting Hill.
No.
Mona Lisa Smile.
God damn it. This is my best friend's wedding on Blockbuster Nostalgia. Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast counting down the biggest movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And I am Maria Erika Lira, here against my will. I hate this. I don't want to be here. Fuck Julia Roberts.
Yep, that was the appropriate way to start that. Yeah. Good job. That might be the best actual introduction. Yeah.
So Erica rejoins us, as is an annual Christmas tradition.
No, this is not my Christmas episode. No.
Doesn't count?
No, it does not. This is a garbage movie and I do not own it.
We did the trilogy. We did the Christmas Prince trilogy.
Uh-huh, yes.
For Christmas and Christmas in July, and then for Christmas, mostly because your birthday's in December.
Yeah. November. But
November, I'm sorry. Close enough to Christmas. Yeah. We drop it in December.
Yes.
But this time I was like, hey, you want to do like a rom-com? We got my best friend's wedding coming up. And you're like, yeah, I'll do it.
And then I just immediately regretted it. Because I was like, wait, wasn't that a shitty movie? Why does he only ask me to do the shittiest? Like, I'll give you lists of movies I want to do. And then I just see you upload it. You did the episode. Yeah. I'm still so
because you'll just like it a lot.
About and the Star Trek
is
one.
This the Star Trek?
I'm so bitter about still, that one.
You got to do A League of Their Own. You got to do that one.
I didn't really want to do that one. I wanted to do the Star Trek one. I begged you for that one. I'm always going to complain
we'll do it
about
again?
That one.
Yeah, let's do it again.
let's do a
Star Trek Revisited.
Nope, not at all. Now
too
you,
late.
No, too late. Now you owe me like a Netflix Christmas movie instead.
We're going to have to go back to a Netflix Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Christmas in July. We'll go back.
I don't own this at all. I'm doing this episode, but it's against my will.
Well, that's another thing with my best friend's wedding. Everybody that I told, like, we're watching my best friend's wedding. Everybody's like, isn't that kind of a shitty movie? And I'm like, yeah, I think so, right? This is actually the first time I've ever seen it.
I had also seen it many, many moons ago, Erica. And I agree. I remembered it being not very good. Watched it again. Turns out, bad.
Bad. So bad.
Yeah.
I had to see this garbage in the theater.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Was there at least like a date, or was it like a friend date?
It was just friends.
Yeah.
Just like, let's go see this movie. So I'm like, okay.
Just lady friends, Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
Rom-com.
Yeah, well, everybody did, because in 97, this movie made $127,120,000. Just crazy that it's this high up on the list.
Yeah, well,
I can't imagine anything making that much money at the turn of the century, and yet somehow.
Yeah, yeah, especially something that didn't have like karate and or like kung fu and no Keanu Reeves and shit. Yeah.
I mean,
Keanu
we could have watched Bloodsport.
I mean,
we could always watch Bloodsport.
I mean, we should just talk about Bloodsport right now.
I'm okay with that too.
Like, you remember when you saw John Van Claude Damme? What's his name?
Jean-Claude Van Damme's
butt.
JCVD,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He had a really good butt in that movie. It was amazing.
Yeah, well, his kicks were fucking legendary, man.
Yeah. And his splits were just like,
and his splits,
and his dancing.
Yeah.
He has the most flexible male taint I've ever seen.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's you know,
I'm just
that's going to be on I'm sure he's just hoping that when they write his obituary, they include the part about his very flexible taint.
Do you think
his bots are like lighting up right now? Like somebody talked about you.
He's like, yes. Do you think maybe like he still works on the splits?
Oh, I'm sure.
I haven't seen him recently. Yeah. I'm afraid to Google him because what if he did a Steven Seagal?
No, you should. He's a very handsome man.
Yeah, no, like, he's still very...
He's like Salt and Pepper and stuff. Yeah.
Oh my God, is he a silver fox?
And he's got like all this fucking like... He looks
character.
Like... Yeah, he's all this character in his face. A lot of like wrinkles and stuff, but he looks good.
Yeah.
So he's a zaddy.
Yeah, see?
Dang. Why weren't we talking about him again?
Yeah. This movie's directed-
is this movie 10 times better or 100 times better if the lead male character opposite Julia Roberts is Jean-Claude Van Damme, and instead of writing about sports, his profession is kickboxing?
Yes, oh, 1,000 times better. Awesome. Oh my God, it's already such a good movie. Like, I want to see that movie, especially like if it's set like now Jean-Claude Van Damme, that would just be a lot of fun.
Ooh, so a remake, now Jean-Claude Van Damme. Is it still now Julia Roberts?
Yeah, let's go ahead
or
and make
young
it
now. Julia Roberts?
Or is
either
young
way,
Roberts?
I don't really care.
It doesn't matter.
Any Julia, it doesn't matter.
Any woman?
She looks exactly the same then
she does.
And now,
it's so. True. She's yeah. Again, Hollywood aging is yeah. different.
It's different
like,
than
other than
people.
Like that 1 year where she like gained 20 pounds for Eat, Pray, Love. Like,
oh, yeah. Which was also not a very good movie, if I remember correctly.
I did not watch that.
Yeah, her, for one of the
for the biggest,
biggest
actress.
Actresses yeah. of all time, she does not have a very good filmography.
No, she doesn't.
No. I mean, Pretty Woman's pretty good.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that later
on.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that.
Because that was a huge hit.
In like a year or so.
And then, you know.
Was that in the 90s too?
It was 1990.
Why
yeah.
did I think that was an 80s
movie? I thought it was an 80s
movie.
It was
an 80s movie,
okay.
yeah.
Okay, all right.
It was probably shot in 89, so it still had all right. that like 80s like fashion and look yeah. and everything. And the 90s doesn't change until like 93.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
True. I remember actually being a kid in the 90s wondering when the 80s were going to stop.
Yeah.
As far as fashion went.
I mean, there's always
oh,
that
yeah.
crossover.
I mean, especially looking back now. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go back a couple of years to the with the Working Girl episode. Man, the fashion of that
I'm
thing.
Still mad I wasn't invited to that one.
I got to stop bringing up episodes.
I know. I fucking live and breathe that movie. Like, I would have been quoting lines to even. No.
We're going to have to do like a short versions of them with
of
you
all these,
really quick.
Just to get Erica's opinions on our past movies.
Then we have to watch them again.
It would be like
our
longest podcast.
You can do your own podcast. It's called Blockbuster Nostalgia Nostalgia.
Yeah,
we just break down our episodes and talk about
how
we're
wrong.
Done.
You know what? I just might. I'll just start a podcast.
Yeah, there is a couple of people that I know that listen to it and they're like, I'm mad that you didn't talk about this. Why didn't you mention that? That makes sense. Yeah. All right, so this movie starts up with a musical number that's very reminiscent of like old school musical numbers,
yes.
right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a 50s style.
Yeah, it was like the beginning to like a Doris Day movie or
yes,
something.
Yes, it's very much like that, which kind of got me excited. And I was like, oh shit, is this that type of movie? Like, I don't remember.
No, it's a trap.
No, it's a 100% trap.
I mean, yeah. It wants to be that kind of movie. Like, it wants to be the like screwball romantic comedy of the 50s, but it's not. Cause
it doesn't have the energy.
It doesn't have the energy, and everyone's a total fucking bitch.
Yeah. Also, it's not funny.
Yeah, and it's not funny. There's no. like one laugh. I think I chuckled once, and it was like, it wasn't even a laugh. It was more like a, huh. That was it.
Yeah. Well, it's Wishing and Hoping is a song.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is also a song about a girl like really changing herself for a guy, like you know, the way like the way Disney princesses
the way they
used
should.
To. Yeah, the way all the Disney princesses used to.
Oh, Eric, you're so lucky. I was drinking.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's a wishing and hoping, and it's a. I thought it was a pretty solid like looking video, and the song
fine.
Was pretty well done and everything. And I was like, oh
but
shit,
it didn't
it's
fit.
Just like a
it
no.
doesn't fit.
And then I was like, where's the girl from that opening song? The
yeah.
whole movie.
Yeah. Like, they should have had Cameron Diaz do that.
She was pretty. Yes.
It kind of looks like.
Only the
she didn't make it through the auditions to be that role, but they let her
maybe.
Be the bride. Like, here you go.
It really felt like they shot it for something else. And then they stick it right in front of this movie.
Yeah.
Makes no sense at all. And then we go right into Julia Roberts talking to her friend.
Well, you know, you have to remember, if we go back into the 80s openings, they would often have openings of just random cartoons that seemed to have nothing to do with the movie.
But at least they were like characters and they were funny.
Or like That's Mannequin. True. Like that kind of had something to do with it.
Which one?
Mannequin. It had a cartoon opening like that. But
yeah, they
like,
usually, but they were like funny cartoons.
They were kind of funny cartoons. You're right. Yeah.
No, this made no sense to me.
No.
But it did get me excited for it. I was like, what kind of movie is this? Oh, the whole time. I didn't know. And then after that, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
What kind of movie is this?
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know.
This is the first movie I have not taken notes for. I was just kind of like, ugh, God.
Because it's a little hard to get through.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. I had to watch it in like with breaks.
Yeah.
And I watched it the night before last, so it's been a good 48 hours since I've seen this movie. So
just like, yeah,
it's
yeah.
gone.
It's gone.
It's just
it's gone.
Gone
yeah.
now.
Well, it starts off in a restaurant, and she's a food critic.
Yes.
Right.
And they're doing it's a very
the
Ratatouille.
Only part of the movie that I actually connected with.
Yeah.
Because like the kitchen is like hustling. So the dining room is like really nice and calm, and Julia Roberts is in this beautiful high-end dining room.
It 100% looks like Ratatouille.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Ratatouille just took that generic
yeah.
look yeah
yeah I'm pretty sure they yeah. did. And the kitchen, like her ticket on the kitchen line has like VIP in red ink. I'm like, oh shit, I've done that. I've like taken a ticket and gone to Liz and like, this person,
I mean, I
is,
assume
like,
every time I go there you write VIP on my ticket.
I'm like, all the time.
Yeah.
A bunch of little hearts and everything.
Yeah
VIP is what we write. Sure.
Extra P. But yeah, so like I love that scene. And when I first watched this movie, I hadn't worked in kitchens, so like it just was kind of meaningless to me.
Yeah.
And this, I was like, oh yeah, that's awesome. Like that really felt
so
real.
I do have to ask you this then, because they bring out admittedly a very delicious looking meal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does look
good. She takes one bite and then she starts telling them what she's going to write.
Which I was like, bullshit.
I was like, you don't do that, right?
That's bullshit.
That seems ridiculous.
But the critics will never acknowledge it like that. Like, you'll know they're a critic. Well, you used to know they're a critic because they'd have like a notebook or something.
Yeah.
And now they just use their phone. They just write notes in their phone. So it could be
so you can never, you never know. And that's kind of the point. You're not supposed to know that they're critics. They're like secret shoppers.
Yeah.
But yeah, but the whole kitchen is like looking,
even if they were a super famous critic, like I don't think if you sit down, if you're like the makers of say My Best Friend's Wedding and you sit down with Roger Ebert and watch the movie during a big press screening, I'm not sure he turns over and is like, all right, I'm gonna say this about the movie, this like, no, he's probably like, all right, cool, like fun movie, I'll see you later.
I feel like Ebert would have though been like,
yeah, maybe
thumbs down. No,
I get maybe,
or maybe,
maybe
just talk shit right to him, just be like, oh, by the way, your movie sucked dick.
I'm gonna say
Roger Ebert, son.
Mic drop. Yeah. I'm gonna say that My Best Friend's Wedding and Ratatouille exist in the same universe.
Cinematic universe.
Because Ego in Ratatouille does that.
That's true.
He tells them what he thinks of the meal as soon as he eats it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean,
maybe
I,
if you're just
it's probably making fun of my friend, best friend's wedding is probably what's doing.
I don't think it's doing that.
Ratatouille is making fun of
the
movie.
I think it's for kids, so it's Ratatouille's just asked to have them say stuff.
It does have the chef telling the guy like, "I will kill your entire family if you fuck this up." Like that was pretty funny.
I don't know how many times I've said that to Liz.
Yeah, exactly.
The fuck, Liz? This is vegan.
Kill your entire family.
Don't even look at the cheese.
Yeah, don't even think about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember the whole kitchen's looking. They all like sigh because she's like, I'm going to say it's inventive and daring or something like that, right?
And I'm like, no, it's not. It's nouvelle cuisine that looks cliched as fuck.
It looks very like dated. I mean, nowadays it looks super dated. Like 10 years ago,
I thought it looked dated. But I mean, now it looks really, really dated with that precious plating and all the plate decoration and everything. Yeah. I never understood, like, was she supposed to be super famous and that's why she's just announcing what she's
like
gonna...
a famous food
she's supposed
critic.
To be like the food critic.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
So she's there with her friend who's her editor, George.
That's also one of those classic movie jobs where it's like really food critic, famous rich food critic who can has the freedom to do whatever she wants and the money to do whatever she wants. That's a real person.
Well, yeah, I feel like the screenplay was like she's a famous author. And then they were like, I think she's played that a couple of times.
Yeah, we got to be a little specific. What does she write?
Yeah.
I don't know. Food critic.
Because she always kind of plays that.
Yeah.
Maybe they were trying to do something clever in terms of her best friend's career and her career because they're both journalists of a type.
Well,
and hers is clearly taken off and his is kind of like a dead end.
He works for a magazine called Sports.
Sports.
No, not even Sports. It was just like singular Sport.
Oh, yeah, Sport. Yeah, Sport.
Just Sport.
Which also like I can see a lot of like middle-aged white dudes being like Sport. Sport magazine. Yeah, and middle-aged Mexican dudes too.
Or I can also see a lot of disappointed grandchildren being like, oh, I got Sports Illustrated. No. Sport.
You got Sport.
God damn it.
You got Sport. Sport. Well, the other reason why this feels tacked on is because it never comes up ever again.
Yeah.
And there's food later in the movie.
That's what I mean. Like, if she was supposed to be super famous, and it would have been hilarious if, like, if every fucking restaurant they went to, they're
in,
like
five restaurants in this
and
movie.
And instead, every restaurant, there's, like, a musical number.
Yeah. Right. There are like five restaurants in the
there's
movie,
no,
and it never
no
comes
jokes
up.
Jokes with like the wedding food, the cake, nothing. Yeah,
none. It's like food doesn't even matter to her.
Again, this was
a
tacked on fucking job. Yeah. Exactly.
You're right. She was originally just a fill in the blank later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So then, but she's talking to George, who's the best fucking character in this movie,
her best friend.
Yeah.
And other than Paul Giamatti, which we'll get to.
That's true.
Magical man.
Yeah.
But talking about Tucson.
That's true.
And how, what was she talking about her best friend?
Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, Tucson, Arizona.
We all talk very fancy here.
Her best friend, Michael, who she grew up with and who she has a full history because they were like,
they dated in college for a minute.
Yeah.
Didn't work out, but they've been best friends ever since.
And when they were little, he made her promise that if they were single by the time they were 30, they would get married.
That old classic.
That old chestnut.
Yeah.
Which 30 is way low. You got to go 50.
Well,
man.
Back then.
I got told 50 and I told him to fuck off. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna be an ancient bride.
You're like, 50's a new 40. Fuck you.
I'm like, I'm already old. Just marry me now if you want to marry me. Just, but he did not want to marry
me. He's like, yeah, but 10 years from now, though.
Yeah. He's like, he literally That's said fine, right? that he wanted to fuck a bunch of other younger women first.
Well, you're like, you're okay with that, right?
Like, I'm not. Well,
here's the thing about this movie is it is full of red flags. Like, ooh. it is everybody in this movie is toxicity. Like, everybody's a toxic fucking person. Except for George, again, who she's talking to, who's a very cool guy.
Yeah, yes. Sure.
He's like hosting dinner parties and shit, just living his life.
And she's ruining all of them.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And so she's talking about him and how, and then she gets the call, right? Like, she goes home, she gets a call that he's getting married.
Right. Well, and this is after she got very excited and was like, oh, he's calling. I'm 29. She's supposed to be in this movie.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, he's going to.
It's going to happen. Like, we're going to get married.
Back together. Yeah.
And then you kind of get like a little bit, I guess, of the sense that she's looking forward to it. But I feel like she's kind of looking forward to turning him down.
That could be. Yeah.
Like,
no, that's
she,
definitely the sense I get.
She is not.
Because apparently, made that more,
that she's not into him until she finds out he's getting married.
Yeah. He's been trying to get a hold of her for a month, apparently. Yeah.
Yes.
And she's just been blowing him off. I'm like, how is this your best friend and you don't even talk?
It's because he is a right bitch.
Yep. Yeah. She is the worst.
She is.
They should have made that more clear, though. I think that would have been funnier if she was like, oh, I'm going to tear his heart out. And then the switch happens. Like, that would have been funnier. But again, this movie just doesn't understand how jokes work.
Yeah. Well, okay. So this is what happens. So he tells her he's getting married. She falls down, right? Right.
Yeah.
And this begins the series of the only jokes in this fucking movie, which is Julia Roberts falls down.
Yeah.
4 times.
Like, they suddenly decided she was great at pratfalls.
But
Francisco, and
she's a pretty woman.
Yeah.
And she's fallen down.
She is not one to fall down.
Yeah.
I don't know who made this movie, but I think they had like a pretty women falling fetish or something, like a clumsiness.
Maybe. Clumsy lady fetish.
Clumsy lady fetish. And it's she falls down 4 times and then the jokes are just people falling down and people singing. Those are the jokes.
That's true.
And then one really good joke at the end where a bunch of ladies are in the bathroom. I mean, that whole scene is pretty good.
That was not bad. Yeah,
yeah.
That was pretty good.
That was a pretty good scene. But anyway, so she falls down to find out he's getting married. She's got to go to the wedding. And now she's not happy about it.
He's also getting married in like 3 days.
Yes, which is, I mean, he's been trying to call her.
That's true. He has been
this is her fucking fault.
He also, you know, he could have mailed an invitation.
Yeah, you're supposed to do that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're supposed to like mail a fancy invitation.
Like a save. Like he's literally marrying a billionaire.
Right,
a billionaire's daughter. Like there would have been save the dates and.
Sure. Yes, you're right.
Yeah,
but they've also
they might have sent a guy.
Yeah,
like a
singing guy.
Yeah, yeah, like a singing guy to invite everybody. He's a billionaire.
Yeah.
Oh shit! Apparently, they're supposed to get married at 28, not 30.
Okay, because I remember them thinking they were playing younger than they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they are.
Everybody, including Cameron Diaz, who
was
26.
She was 25.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then she was
playing
20.
Or 20, yeah.
But convincingly.
Yeah, no, she's
very cute.
Still very much in her like young, cute, ditzy
they
face.
They definitely dressed her to be like very preppy and childish with like little sweater sets and pearls and headbands.
Yes.
And that weird little Carol Brady mullet flip thing she had going on. Like,
yeah.
Like, Cameron, were you growing out a pixie cut? Like, you're a billionaire. You would have had hair extensions to fix that shit. What the hell?
But she's too cute for that.
She's just too cute and sweet and bubbly and sexy.
And supposed to be very relatable and not relatable at all. Nobody is. Because, again, everybody's a toxic person in this.
She's kind of the least toxic person.
And no, there's toxicity in
she's
her.
She's a little, I mean, I'm saying comparatively.
Yeah, comparatively, yes.
She's a really good driver, though.
Yes.
Like, she drives exactly like I do, and I loved it.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, 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 that is. That's not really good driving, I wouldn't say.
What? That's great driving. I don't know what you mean.
Like, so she
never missed an exit.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. That technically, you're correct, yes. She flies out there with the clear intention to break them up.
Well, she specifically says that.
She says, I will break them up 2 days before the wedding.
She's like, I've got, 3 days or four days to break up a wedding.
I think she had a week at one point. And then,
maybe.
No, it was 4 days. It was 4 days. Because when they pick her up, she's like, I have 4 days to make you my new best friend.
Yes, that's right. That's what Cameron does. It's immediately the most evil plot.
Sure.
That you could come up with.
The one that could maybe work in a screwball comedy, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're going really wacky and you're like, I'm going to break up this wedding because I love this person, okay.
The problem is that in a screwball comedy, Julia Roberts needed another man to play off of.
That's true.
To fall in love with and
exactly.
to like, yeah, but she
didn't
have that.
And that's kind of supposed to be George, but not really.
But not really.
No, because he's gay.
Yeah. He's gay as hell. And
and in real life, the actor's gay. Too,
right. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It's definitely missing that. And it's, I think you feel like it's trying to play like, oh, will they? Won't they? But the whole time I'm like, well, they don't fucking deserve to.
Yeah. Like, I hope they don't.
Yeah, I hope they don't, for real.
Yeah, because how shitty would it be of him to just leave his fiance at the altar?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the Notting Hill situation that I complained about repeatedly in that podcast, which is that I don't want those people to get to end up together.
You don't want them to end up together.
So if this is supposed to be a romantic movie about two people ending up together.
What was your beef in Notting Hill? Like, why didn't you want them together? Just because she was, like, bitchy to what's-his-face?
Yeah, just because she, like, kept, you know, being kind of terrible to him.
But I love that part where she's doing the Henry James movie, and she's like, I don't know him.
Yes, my rebuttal to that was that if it was Harrison Ford playing that character and being a dick to a chick, he would be like, Harrison Ford's a cool, badass guy in this.
I would have.
That's true.
No, you'd have been like, yeah, he can fuck whoever he wants.
Well,
doesn't matter.
He's Harrison Ford, okay? So that's not fair.
Well, it's Julia Roberts. She's like basically Harrison Ford. Not male Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford's male Harrison Ford. She's a chick.
Well, okay. So right away, when Cameron Diaz meets her, she's like, oh my God, we're going to become best friends. Right?
Yeah. Because she's going to be her maid of honor.
Very naive. And she also
seems insane.
Insane. Yeah.
Her actual best friend shattered her hip doing line dancing in Abilene.
Yeah. I guess so. But so you can't, I mean, I guess you can't walk the thing.
I can see why being like your best friend and I don't have anybody show up.
The best friend is just MIA completely.
Well, she shattered her head, her pelvis. She's like in traction.
All right, brother. There's metal rods. There's metal rods.
She's
in there.
A billionaire. She can show up. Jeez.
Well, maybe she showed up like in a stretcher away in the back of the church. Maybe. I don't know.
I guess now you could just have someone carry like
if there's something about Mary that would have played.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been
a funny guy with a giant back brace. Yeah. Yeah. Something dumb like that. But even when Cameron Diaz is trying to be nicer, it's very weirdly passive aggressive. She's like, oh, I heard that you're high maintenance. So, you know, we got to make sure that everything is about you. And, you know, and I was like, wow, like.
That is true. Actually, the way he talks about his own friend to his fiance is kind of shitty. So he's calling her high maintenance and this and that.
He also has to be like, hey, I have this best friend who is an attractive lady that I used to date. But also, let me tell you all this bad stuff so you don't think that I'm in love with her.
I guess that is a thing men do.
That's the thing. But it didn't seem like Cameron Diaz was that type of girl that you would have to do that. It's probably because he's a toxic person.
I mean, might be that.
Yeah.
But also,
she did seem very...
I mean, every girl is the type of girl you have to do that to some extent.
Yeah. Well, everybody in this fucking movie is red flags.
Yes.
So everybody right away, I was like, well, Cameron Diaz, first of all, she has been like, it doesn't matter what you do. I love you and it's my fault. Everything is my fault.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sorry. And please don't leave me. Please don't leave me.
She's too young. See, okay. I actually kind of was hoping they'd break up because she's 20.
Yeah, she's better than him.
She can do better.
Yeah, she's a billionaire.
Yeah, and she's a billionaire. She can do better, but
yeah.
Okay.
And then
she will, right? Like they get divorced 5 years from now.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
He does weird shit too, where he says kind of things to Julia Roberts that make me feel like, oh, he just wants that to know that she wants him.
Right.
Yes.
And that red flags, again. Yes. A lot of red flags. Like the part when they go in to try on the dress and he walks in and she's like in her underwear.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you want me to turn around? She's like, yeah. And he's like, I've seen you more naked than this.
I know.
Then before he leaves, he takes a second and he's like, you look really good in your underwear.
Yeah, yeah.
And then leaves and
he's
I was
still
like,
a little flirty.
You're
he's
being
still,
a fucking
he's still
yeah.
a little flirty.
Yeah.
Red flags, my friend.
Definitely flirty. And then, you know, when later on, when the whole George shows up as the fake fiance.
Yeah, then all of a sudden he's about her. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So again, they both have some issues.
Yeah. We get a sense of the family, which is cool. Like Emmett Walsh is in it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a bunch of other. His brother is Masterson from Malcolm in the Middle. Malcolm in the Middle.
I knew I recognized that kid from somewhere. And the mom is the mom from Castle.
Yeah, the mom from Castle. Yeah. And then
I never watched that. Sorry.
She was also the mom in Dharma and Greg, I guess.
Don't remember that one, but I believe that she was
Dharma and Greg, or was it Will and Grace? Maybe I don't know. Another sitcom that I never watched. Which one?
Dharma and Greg.
Dharma and Greg.
Dharma and Greg was confirmed.
Great at moms.
And then she had her cousins.
The slut cousins?
Slut cousins, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. That included Carrie Preston, which is just a delight.
Yeah, and Rachel Griffiths from Muriel's Wedding, which the same director directed, and it's 100 times better. But yeah, so there's some good talent in this. But then, yeah, she stops the elevator to tell Julia Roberts that, like, she's super in love with him, and it's not like it doesn't matter what he does because they start complaining about him. She starts being Julia's like, hey, does he still snore when he sleeps? She's like, oh yeah, it gets worse. Does he still smoke cigars? And she's like, no, I broke him with that, but he does this. And he starts complaining, and then she stops the elevator.
It's also interesting that she's the one she starts with is, does he still snore when he's sleeping? Immediately going to like, you know, we slept together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Everybody's a red flag in this.
And Cameron Diaz says Kimmy. She doesn't even like skip a beat. She's like, oh yeah, he totally snores, and he does this, and then you're just like, bitch, you should be like, how do you know how my man snores?
Yeah,
he told her that they dated because that's why later when she talks about, you wanted to keep me around because you were, you know, worried about me, and she was like, yeah, I was, and I should have been.
Yeah,
yeah.
I do think that you're a little bit right about it's hard to connect with the George character for me because I can understand. I mean, that's the George character, the Michael character, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he's just kind of a wet blanket, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cause he's fucking he's got no personality.
Yeah.
He's just there to tell us what Julie Roberts is like.
Right.
He does that a lot.
Yeah.
He switches back and forth, but also like it's a weird sell to be like, oh yeah, him and Julie, he talks about Julie Roberts to everybody. Yeah.
Right.
Julianne, everybody, her family, Cameron Diaz's family
knows all about her.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's
which is a weird thing. Yeah, it's a weird thing to meet your
it's weird.
Fiance's family and be like, let me tell you about my friend
yes.
that I used to fuck.
Like, it would be weird, like, if I met Angel's family and they knew all about me because that's all you talked about. Like, I'd be like, what the fuck, Eric?
That would be really weird.
Yeah, it's weird, right? But also.
And the fact that Julia Roberts' character doesn't find this weird is also a red flag. Like, you should be why is he talking about
me all the
time? But she does need that, though. She really wants that attention. Yeah.
But unless she was, like, super famous. Like, again, if this was a Notting Hill situation and she was Julia Roberts, you'd be like, my friend Julia Roberts, you know, the giant, huge action or famous movie star.
If she was Dionne Warwick, like they talk about later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it'd be like, holy shit, Dionne Warwick? Yeah. We've heard so much about you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
It's weird, and then it's true that it's harder for guys to keep a female friend for that long.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's really hard because women don't necessarily trust other women, especially when you're that close and you've dated.
Yeah.
So it's a lot and then also as guys, we're not very open about that shit. So it's a lot easier for us to just be like, nah, just stop talking to her. I'm not going to deal with like having, you know what I mean?
Drama. Yeah.
Drama. Like, I'll just stop talking. Yeah. Altogether, it's harder to just, but it is weird that her family, entire family knows about her and they love her right away.
Yeah.
Which is no.
Yeah.
No, they would which is a no. Like, if someone, like, if I had a daughter and her fiance talked about some other bitch all the time,
you would be suspicious.
I would be, oh my God. And then she actually showed up. I'd be like, I would not be that nice.
Yeah. It's,
I would not.
It's weird.
It's just because, you know, Julia Roberts and that smile.
Yeah. Yep. And then, you know, they have like dinners. They go, I mean, we get a sense that they're super rich.
Right.
They're billions. Literally billionaires.
They own, the White Sox?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're supposed to own the Chicago White Sox. Like, just flat out own it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a good time together, and they go to a karaoke bar. And then this is the first of the singing things.
Right.
Where it was like, oh, it's supposed to be funny. But it's all right. Like, it's not funny.
It's not really funny.
No.
Though. No.
So the movie goes into this sequence of events where Julia Roberts keeps trying to ruin their relationship, but inadvertently just kind of makes it stronger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, again, could have been
because she forces them to talk about, like, issues, right? Like, about her school and shit like that.
Yes. She's bringing up shit that's a touchy subject.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That, I mean, they've been dating enough to have already, like, discussed it. She's just bringing that shit up. Yeah.
Right.
To be, again.
And the whole reason they go to the karaoke bar is because Cameron Diaz
specifically
says that she, like, can't sing and she's really...
And she hates going to karaoke bars and he likes him.
That's right. And she's really nervous that he'll find out that she's a bad singer and stuff. But then it turns around because he's been worried that she's too perfect and then seeing her vulnerable, it's a whole, like, Florence Nightingale
situation.
Again,
20 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, how did she get in that bar? She's 20.
Yeah, exactly. And it's such a, like, it's movie
she's
karaoke.
A millionaire?
Movie.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about this. Yes, it's movie karaoke.
Bullshit. Yeah. Total fucking bullshit.
Just like a random mic being passed around, just sing a random song. Works. Like,
No.
No.
This drunk lady.
Also, people don't just start booing you and then turn around completely, if you're karaoke.
Well, nobody boos you in karaoke, man. No, everybody's there to fucking sing.
Unless it's cutthroat. Yeah.
You have to be like a major asshole to everyone to get booed at karaoke, or you have to be doing one of those gong show style ones. Like,
right. Yeah, but even in gong shows, you don't really get booed. They just gong you out.
Yeah, they just gong you. Instantly, if you're like a white girl trying to rap. Like,
yes.
Thank God for that. And just, I know, I'm like, yes, here comes a gong.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
But without that, where would a Ziggy... fuck it.
Were you going to say Iggy Azalea?
Yeah.
Iggy Azalea.
I was going to say, where would her career be? But, you know, I
stumbled my words. So.
So that's like a dated...
Yeah, six, a little bit.
Yeah, go to Doja Cat. Go with Doja Cat.
I didn't know she was white. So...
But so this karaoke is just random people picking up a mic, and then this random lady is like, I want to see you're using to Cameron Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
And then Julia Roberts is like, no, give me the mic. And then she like puts her on the spotlight, gives her the mic. They put up a fucking random song.
Yeah.
Not real karaoke at all.
Not how it works.
Yeah. Start singing, sucks, and everybody starts booing again. Not real karaoke.
That would be kind of a hilarious karaoke night, though, if it was just random karaoke and you don't know what song you're going to do.
Yes, which they do that. Sometimes some karaoke places will do that. They'll do like a night where
you still have to sign up, right?
Yeah, you have to sign up.
Yeah, you still have to sign up.
They'll just put up a theme. And then and there'll be like love songs or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or 80s songs or whatever. And then they just give you a roulette karaoke. But yeah, you still have to sign up. They don't just walk around passing a fucking microphone. Yeah. To randos.
Yeah, because that wouldn't work. Because you just have a bunch of randos saying, no, not going to do it.
Also, there's 800 people in this fucking bar.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the busiest karaoke bar of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, again, post-COVID, it makes me feel weird now. People are smoking in there and shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of smoking in this movie. Yeah. I kept forgetting it. And it was like the late 90s, so smoking was already coming out of fashion by then.
Yes.
So kinda...
Yeah, you already had to have like... smoking floors and non-smoking floors. Yeah. You have to have stuff separated.
Yeah.
There was a pivotal time in the 90s where we went from the regular section and the non-smoking section to the regular section and the smoking section.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like it flipped over.
It flipped, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then this was post that, I think.
Yeah, it was.
So it is where she smokes
so
much.
If you think this movie smokes a lot, you should watch that Beatles documentary because every motherfucker in that smoking
that's
non-stop.
Like 60 years ago or whenever. So yeah, of course they smoked a lot. Yeah. But this was just in
House of Gucci. Everybody's smoking
everyone constantly. Yeah.
I was surprised at how much she smoked. She smokes a lot.
Yeah. And for a food critic, like, bitch, why are you smoking?
True, your palate. Your palate, bitch.
But singers used to smoke too, and that just destroys your voice.
Yeah, but they thought it enhanced their voice by giving it some grit. Too.
Yeah.
Tom Waits. You just become Tom Waits at the end of your fucking career.
Well, Tom Waits or Billie Holiday are trying to go for that whole raspy Stevie Nicks sound, I guess.
So I guess her plan is to use his career and her college against him, right?
Right.
So he's got a swell job, but he has to travel around writing for Sport Magazine about sports stuff.
That's right.
I assume.
It seems to be about
specifics. All the jobs in here are fucking bullshit.
Farm league baseball is what it seems to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just bullshit tacked on jobs that they just like if we don't have to explain it, we don't have to explain it.
Yeah.
Sure.
So he's writing for sports.
His at least kind of plays into the plot because, again, he had to have a job that would force him to travel. It would also be a job that you could legitimately see somebody not wanting to give up because they love it.
Yeah.
Even for a higher paying, better job.
Yeah.
Quote unquote better. Yeah.
Which is what Julia Roberts talks Cameron Diaz into. You should talk him into working for your dad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Although I also do feel like if you're that into sports, the idea of working for a professional sports team is not the worst idea in the world.
Yeah. No. It makes no sense. Like, why wouldn't he want to work for the fucking White Sox?
Right.
When he's willing to go check out these little like Tucson Toro type teams.
Right. Yeah.
I would see it. I guess maybe because he might like the traveling, but the way they phrase it, it's like they're going to offer him a job in public relations or something.
Yeah. Which is very dumb. Like,
maybe they should offer him a job like in the front office, like scouting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
About that shit.
One of those fake jobs that George Costanza did.
Exactly.
For the Yankees.
Yeah. Build a bed under your desk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
One of those fake jobs. If I know anything.
I wish I could get one of those jobs.
Yeah, for real.
Now I want a fake job working for a giant fucking sports team.
Then that billionaire father-in-law?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what she comes up with. And then they get in a fight about it, like a real fight in a restaurant. Again, nowhere is a food mentioned, even though she's a food critic.
Mm-hmm.
This is like restaurant number 4 in this fucking movie. But then they get into a real fight, and then immediately Cameron Diaz is like, I'm sorry, it's my fault, it's my fault, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry. And he's like, yeah, that's right. And I was like, God damn it, like, this is not going to work. And nobody in this, there's no combination in these relationships where it works.
Nothing works.
No. Maybe Dermot and George, maybe if they coupled up, like Michael and George, maybe that would work.
Oh, that'd be a very pretty couple. Yeah. But, like, Michael's not good enough for George.
Yeah, I don't think
But Michael's
so.
Not good enough exactly. for George. Exactly. No, yeah, that's no. true.
I think maybe, like, Julia and Paul Giamatti, like, they would have made a great couple.
Yeah. There we go. Julia and Paul Giamatti, which is a much better movie.
Yes. All right.
It's a movie that Giamatti rolls in.
Yeah.
Like, they should have brought him in way earlier into the movie.
Way earlier.
And just, like, had
and
him.
He could have been that guy you were talking about that it plays off of. Yeah.
You wait a year and a half later for Giamatti to blow up, mm-hmm. and you have that fucking movie.
Yeah.
It was right before he blew up in this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. You bring him in earlier, and then you can have, and then that way you feel sympathetic towards her. But
yeah.
No, but the whole time you're like, I hope she dies.
Yeah.
Before she ruins these poor people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care about Michael's lives, but I feel kind of bad for Kimmy, but not really because she's a billionaire, so fuck her.
Really, it's George. She's ruining all of George's dinner parties. And I don't like that.
The only time I actually laughed in this movie was when she's flipping out and calling George and he's having
the dinner party.
Yeah, yes. And they just listen to it on the answering machine, funny. And she's like, "So coffee."
Yeah.
Well, and then he says, "So coffee," and he pours wine.
Yeah. He needed wine after hearing that. Oh God.
That was right. So that happens right after this. They get closer together, and she calls him freaking out during the middle of a dinner party. It's really funny
because
it's an old school answering machine.
Well, very modern back then.
Very modern back then, yeah. Although the phones were modern back then. Yeah, actually,
The fact that she even has a cell phone.
There was a lot of cell phones in this movie, and I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're all supposed to be very rich people.
Yes.
But I certainly did not have a cell phone in 1997.
97? Jesus,
No, I did.
Oh.
Was it a big one?
Let's
or
see, 97.
Because they had a flip one.
I think by then it was a flip one. But I did have like the big brick flip.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like thin plastic, and the rest of it was like the gigantic brick. But I did. My family had cell phones since the 80s when they first came out. I don't know why. I just know we had them.
Were you guys. What kind of crazy 80s business deal?
I think it had to do with
cocaine?
Like my parents were friends
tons
with
of cocaine.
My parents were friends with some doctor, and he
Wall
had
Street stuff.
And at the time, he had like a really low rate for cell phones of 25 cents a minute. And he was like, I can get this really low rate for you if you sign on. And they're like, yeah, okay, we'll do it. I've literally had the exact same phone number since the 90s, since like 1995.
You remember when they were supposed to give you brain cancer?
Yeah.
Sure
I wasn't
did.
Using it. Like
that's why everyone's so fucking stupid now.
Well, they probably did, and then they fixed that by just texting.
Yeah.
Nobody talks on the fucking phone anymore.
Nobody just talks.
Except for boomers.
We went back to life.
Now you guys get ball cancer, but we're fine because we have purses.
Yeah, we get ball cancer. And every now and then they make a phone that explodes in your pocket. That's all right.
Yeah.
It's fine.
That's right. Vape pens do that shit all the time.
So I just assume then at your father in the 80s, giant shoulder pads, so slicked back his hair. Just like so much grease.
Yeah.
No.
And a fine Tom Selleck mustache.
He did have a fine Tom Selleck mustache.
Oh, the best.
Yeah. He did. I love that mustache. When he would come home in his Chef Whites and he had the big fucking mustache, I was the best.
He just talks and you don't see his mouth, but you just see the mustache movie.
Yeah.
Oh, like a Miyazaki movie.
Yeah, like a Miyazaki movie. Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
But mom hated the mustache.
Like a walrus.
So really?
It had to go, yeah.
Really, wow.
Yeah.
So then George flies in to support her.
So George again, because everyone in these movies, and this is, I would say, what, 90% of the movies that we've watched for this podcast? Everyone just has unlimited wealth.
Yes.
Yeah.
To do whatever, whenever they want.
He's an editor for, I don't know, for a fucking newspaper, I'm assuming.
For
she's
food
a food
magazine.
Critic. For a food magazine. And he can just afford to fly on a whim to
on
fucking.
On a whim the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And does this twice.
Yep.
Yeah.
And also, like he's just like went to the airport and got a plane.
It's crazy to me because this is all within the span of like 4 days.
Yes.
Right. So you're right. Like within 4 days, he
flies twice.
Yeah. He flies in and out the same day and then he comes back for the end of the movie.
And he's on the phone with her.
Chicago, right?
He's on the phone with her in the afternoon and then he shows up at the wedding at the end of the movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
So he just went to an airport and was I need to get on the next flight. I will pay whatever.
Like, I just arrived, but I got to go back.
Maybe because he's her editor, he just uses her fucking card.
Maybe.
Which I would then be like, yeah. Yeah. I'd be like, bitch, I came here for you, shit. That's why I'm here. But, you know, a lot
this
more sassy.
Also, so in my memory of this movie that I had not seen since I was, I don't know, 14 or whatever, I thought the twist was George wasn't actually gay.
At the end, he's like, a real like prospect. Yeah.
I thought like, oh, he showed up because he's in love with her, and that story was real.
It's because it's set up to be romantic. Yeah. At the end, yeah. And it is definitely not.
Definitely not. Rewatching it now, I'm like, oh no, he's just.
And no, like, she just doesn't deserve that.
Yeah, she just doesn't deserve
that. That's a very sweet scene where I'm like, she does not deserve that. No. And the movie gets cheapened by that.
Evidently a reshoot.
I think so. Huh. I think that a movie ending with her sitting by herself in a wedding and nobody paying attention to her is way more powerful than that fucking... Yeah, but it was never going to end that way.
So the original ending was she was at the wedding. The wedding happens, blah, blah, blah. And then she meets some guy and it's like, huh?
Yeah.
But that's audiences even worse. Didn't like that. Yeah.
No.
Audiences didn't like that.
Because you have
that.
To build up to that. Exactly. You can't just...
Now, if it had
there.
Been Paul Giamatti, though...
if he's like a server, oh my God.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, it's you. God,
perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he was like, hey, listen, you want to dance? And she's like, no. And then she's like, you know what? Let's dance. Yeah. Then I would have been like, all right, she learned something.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if it was just like...
Learns nothing in this fucking movie.
What's the name of that movie where Charlize Theron and Patton Oswalt are in it and she's like a YA writer?
Yes, Young Adult.
Young Adult. Yeah, it would have been like great. Even if it was a sad hookup like in that movie.
Yes.
Like even that would have been like at least interesting.
But she's just a beautiful wreck.
Yeah.
And he's a awesome like...
Celebrity
ugly guy. Yeah. Yeah, 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 exactly.
And then they just hook up and like that could be just it, but anything to just get her off.
You're right.
Michael.
Introducing Paul Giamatti early and keeping him in the play, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we got like a more salvageable movie.
No, more Giamatti. I mean, that's really what we're getting at.
Yeah. So he comes in and then she immediately uses it to say, oh, George is my fiance. Yeah. One of the best lines in the movie, he came in to fuck me.
Yeah. I think that was the one that got me a chuckle.
He flew in for a couple of hours to fuck me, which is actually pretty funny and unexpected. I didn't see that coming. So then George is like, what the fuck are you talking about? But she's like, come on, do this for me. And right away, you could tell he's like, God damn it. Like, bitch, like, don't drag me into this. And he does that.
He shouldn't have flown. He knew what he was getting. It's really on George at this point.
I don't even understand why he went out there. Like what he thought. I guess he thought he was going to stop her, but he didn't.
He's her real best friend.
Yeah,
Michael
really
is not her best friend.
That's right.
No. Anyway,
Michael is
Michael was her best friend.
Was her best friend. Not anymore.
9 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And now George is her actual best friend. So he flies to be supportive, which is nice.
Yeah.
He finds her a wreck, which is appropriate because she's a fucking wreck.
Yeah.
And delusional.
Gets
dragged into her bullshit.
But handles it with aplomb.
Yes. Oh, and that scene, so when they finally go to dinner, everybody's super excited for us to meet him because everybody's awesome to Julia Roberts, who hates everybody.
Yeah.
Who's a bitch to everybody.
They're also probably super excited about the idea that like, oh, she's not going to try and steal our daughter's man because she's engaged to this other very handsome,
tall man. There was palpable relief
from the man. Yeah.
I think that actress was the only one who knew how to play it.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They go to dinner to another meal where Julia Roberts does not talk about the food again.
Nope. not really a big food fan, Julia Roberts.
Not a big food person, Julia Roberts. Yeah. Never mentions it. Maybe it's like
that's why she's so skinny.
That Inside Llewyn Davis thing where she's like, this is my job, all right?
Yeah. Or like the masseuse in Seinfeld.
Yeah. I do this all day, all right? I don't have to do it now. The sing a little prayer
Forever and ever, you stay in my heart.
Yeah. It's actually a cool scene because it puts Julia Roberts through the ringer.
It really does.
That's why.
Because like dying the whole time. I was kind of dying from secondhand embarrassment.
Yes.
The whole time too. But
I was also like, George.
The whole restaurant starts clapping along.
Someone plays the fucking piano.
Yes.
Like, now, this movie wanted to be a musical.
Why
and I
wasn't
wish it?
It
should have been.
I guess it wasn't because it was 1997 and musicals were very
dead by then.
And
no one was brave enough to just do it anyway.
No, they didn't come back to like Chicago, right?
Yep, Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Which is why it won an
Oscar.
Like
5 hours. 5 years later. I mean, it was like 5 years later. So
5 hours later.
5 hours later. Yeah. You're right. That's why it was not a musical, but it really wanted to be.
Yeah.
It's so wanted.
Should have gone for it.
There was like at least four numbers that I can think of on the top of my head where they just like break out into song for no fucking reason.
Yeah. The opening, the fucking karaoke shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This scene.
I feel like there's another one I'm thinking of.
Oh, where she steals that truck and is just playing that one fucking song?
Yeah.
And maybe what? Like, maybe this is one of those situations that got just Hollywood noted to death. Yes. They're like, oh, we'll do a screwball comedy. Ah, well, we got this, 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 and then we're not really that wacky anymore.
Let's throw some of that.
What if we do a wacky comedy? All right, but, or a wacky musical. It's like, all right, well, no one really likes songs right now. Yeah. Musicals are kind of passe.
What if they just break out into song?
And we're like, he's serenading her on the boat, too.
That's right. You're right. It's a
very romantic scene. Like, what the fuck?
The way you look tonight, that's a song.
Yeah. The fact that at the end, her big romantic gesture, her big, like, redeeming gesture is giving them her song with him.
Yeah.
Bullshit, dude.
Bullshit.
First of all, I mean, we're jumping ahead here, but I was like, there's no way she's still the maid of honor.
Yeah.
There's no way. They're just like, no, you know what? Fuck yourself. Fuck yourself in your fucking ass.
Yeah.
Like, we'll do a wedding without a maid of honor. Guess what? It's super easy to do that shit.
Yeah. It's not that hard.
Your little brother will just walk by himself. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way after all that shit. But anyway, we're jumping ahead. He does a great. Also, his story is pretty cool.
Or if she's not the maid of honor and they just hire a prostitute to be the maid of honor, so then it's just the teenage boy with a dirty, dirty prostitute.
I mean, that's what you wanted.
Just adding jokes to this comedy that has no jokes.
Yeah, that's true. Again, something about Mary. You got a prostitute. You got an old lady prostitute. But yeah, the story he tells is pretty good. It's like, we met in an insane asylum. It's got like all these twists and turns.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty funny. It's like, we met in the insane asylum and I was like, what? And I was there to visit Dionne Warwick, or at least she thought she was. Like, it's very like big and flamboyant. Yes. And Julia Roberts is just dying. But I was like, his story's pretty good. Again, George, best character.
Yeah, George is good. Yeah.
Then he sings a whole song. Everybody sings along. Immediately, Michael is like, oh, I'm jealous now. Yes. Pay attention to me now.
Yeah.
But I'm the baby.
This wedding is all about me.
It really was that. I'm the baby, not him interested in Julia or anything like that. He just wanted the attention.
Can we go back to like when you were jealous of Cameron Diaz and not when I'm jealous of this guy? Can we do that, please? Again, red flags. Fucking left and right.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
This is when we get the boat scene where he serenades her and he's like, you know what? I got so jealous. And she's like, it's going to happen.
Yeah. And he's on. And Kimmy says, if you love someone, you just have to say it. Like, he's just setting her up.
He does it a lot. He cock teases her all the time.
It's really fucking frustrating. One of the reasons why I kept like fast forwarding some of their scenes because like I can't deal with this.
Again, it's another why I was like, well, I don't like him either.
Yeah,
I don't like her. I don't like her. Like it's except for George and Paul Giamatti, like we said.
He's a real love teaser, which is coincidentally the name of my next porno.
A real love teaser.
That actually sounds like one I'd watch.
It builds it up. It doesn't go right into the action, but you know, it gets you there eventually.
I kind of want this to be like an actual rom com now called Love Teaser, where it's just like.
Well, and then
just Paul Giamatti shows up.
Just like withholding love from Julia Roberts the whole movie.
Yeah, which is awesome because he also deserves better.
Oh, yeah.
Also,
he's in one scene and it's like all I remember is that scene.
In that ending that we talked about where he's at the wedding, I would still be like, no, Paul Giamatti, walk away, dude. Walk away, dude. She's a fucking garbage person. Yeah.
Like when she sends that fucking email, man, to...
So this is the next scene. So we have the boat scene. Everybody's driven by jealousy in this fucking movie. Right. Everybody is. Cameron Diaz is driven by her jealousy of his best friend.
Right.
He's driven by jealousy of George. She's obviously... Everything she does is about her fucking jealousy. Yeah.
Sure.
This is like
the point of no return scene.
Right.
So for me at least, as a viewer, I don't know how you guys felt about it. But up to this point, I was like, man, Julia Roberts sucks. But then once she does this, I was like, irredeemable.
Yeah. This is the email. Talk us through the email.
So for whatever reason, she gets sent to pick up Kimmy's father. I don't know why.
Because the movie needs to move along.
Plot.
Because she has to be in that
dumb
building.
Plot reasons. So she manages to get into the building. She's like,
Are they like, hey, our billionaire father
doesn't have a ride?
And we can't go get him.
What about his fleet of fucking drivers? Yeah.
Right. It's not like he doesn't own like 1,000 serfs who could go take him. But okay, so she has to show up, but he's not ready yet. He still has to finish his meeting. And she's like, oh, I just have to make a few phone calls. And he's like, do it in my office. Exactly like she hoped. So she logs into his computer, which actually she didn't even have to log in because it's the 90s, so there's no fucking security. It's not an issue. Opens up his email app, which looks just like a word processing app.
Oh my God, yeah, it's so dated. It's funny.
Did you see how she, like, the two in her email is just like Brian Kelly of Sport Magazine? Like, it's not even...
Yeah.
It's like a letter.
Is that an email address?
It's not even an email address. Yeah, she's like, Brian Kelly. Like, what is this shit?
Well, even in 97,
you have to put an email address. It would have been,
yeah,
it would have been like whatever, editor at Spurt Magazine.
Right. Yes.
You know? I thought, like, for a minute, I was like, well, he owns the White Sox. Maybe he has them saved into his, like, contacts. But
nope, there was like a comma. Yeah, editor in chief or something.
To whom it may concern, Spurt Magazine.
Like, she has the editor's name, but it's to whom it may concern. And he's like, I just, you know, just need this favor. If you could just fire my future son-in-law.
It was like when they were doing that scene, they're like, middle-aged housewives don't have email addresses. Yeah. They don't care.
They don't know.
They don't know. We got to simplify it for them. The ampersand or the ant.
They don't know what that is.
The at, they don't know. They have no idea.
Yeah, they don't understand this. And you know what? Fair. In the 90s, I feel
like. 97?
97.
Middle-aged housewives.
I feel like since 1991, I've been trying to get friends to join me on the internet, and it didn't happen until like fucking 2010.
I mean, I was deep in chat rooms way back, way earlier on.
But I didn't know you back then, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, my friends are like.
In AIM?
We don't even have computers.
So you're saying you have really cool friends.
Really cool non-email having friends.
Yeah, that's what I had in the 90s. But yeah, so, and then she, I can't remember because I was kind of just happy.
Because you're like,
it.
Fuck this movie.
Yeah, I was like kind of like scrolling through TikTok at this point. Yeah, yeah. So like, I know she like did this like whole save for later, so I don't really know how it got sent, but it got sent.
The idea was that she was going to just have Michael.
She writes an email pretending to be
the dad saying, fire the son
so that he can work for me.
He can work for me. And then the idea was that she's going to show it to Michael. He'll see it, flip out, cancel the wedding.
And be like, your dad's trying to sabotage my thing and cancel the wedding.
But she's not going to send it. But when boss White Sox owner goes to leave, he's like, oh, my assistant, I have some emails saved because that's the thing you do.
Yes. Yeah, so send them all at the end of the day?
Out. Yeah. Like letters.
Which is, that's how email works.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Again, that's just like letters.
Go and mail those letters out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, was this bitch supposed to like proofread them first? Like, I don't understand this. Like,
I mean, that would at least make sense if you were like, hey,
check all these emails.
Check the emails for, you know, grandma.
He's like, I'm a very old man and emails are very new to me. Please make sure that I wrote things right.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, he's just like, send these out, like you said, send out these emails at the end of the day. No, send out these emails at the end of the day.
Give them to Paul the postman.
It's because back then they were like electronic mail. It's got to be just like regular. Exactly. You know? It's got to work the same.
That would actually be even funnier if he was like, give that to Paul the postman. And they're like, it's email, sir. Give it to Paul.
Paul knows what to do.
Just mail. Well, it's crazy to me because like in the 90s, like I still had bosses who would give me handwritten letters and be like, I need this to be an email.
Yes.
Make it
which would
email.
Make sense against again if he did that.
So like I don't understand why like I'm surprised that this guy's not like that. Like,
yeah.
This is also like
this is also a guy that did not type. He definitely had his assistant.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also the assistant would have been like read. I didn't write this one. I don't remember typing this one out. This is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this also had the third, I think, Julie Roberts falling gag.
Yes.
Already? Since we love them so much.
We love them so much, I forgot they were in the movie.
Yeah, she falls back on the chair and ha! Actually,
everywhere.
Then she falls again? Well, in the hall. But anyway, yeah. And she's got the ring and she can't take the ring off.
Yeah.
Because she put Cameron Diaz's ring on her finger.
And I guess they're going for she's a clumsy ditzy girl, but nothing else.
It's
in
to
the
make
movie.
Her relatable.
Yeah, and falling, you know.
Yeah, falling is always funny. Yeah. I mean, maybe if they would have actually submitted her to physical harm, if it would have gone like full Three Stooges, like rakes to the face, and you know, I don't know, paint cans.
That would have been
getting your eyes poked.
So just like Home Alone, but a rom-com.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If they would have just had an 8-year-old Kevin McAllister hit her with a paint can.
I mean, he was in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Can we just do that?
Yeah.
So Kevin McAllister could have just been the like son-in-law, or not the son-in-law, like the brother. He could have been the little brother, and he just tortures the shit out of her.
Or he's got the email computer and then she's trying to break in to get it.
Oh, and he has to protect
the
house.
And he has to protect that. He has to protect the house.
Yeah.
I also forgot to mention this earlier, and I didn't even write it down because I was like, there's no way I'm going to forget this.
Yeah.
But there's that great scene which by great, I mean Julia Roberts is a fucking bitch. Where
by a movie, I mean that Julia Roberts is a fucking bitch.
Where Cameron Diaz is like, I gotta go to that grandma dinner, and Julia Roberts is like, yeah, let's go because I'm the maid of honor. And then she's like, you don't have to go. And he's like, all right, bye. Yeah. He's like, wait. He's like, if I don't have to go, I'll just hang out with your fucking fiance for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
You know.
Just been having a few drinks, having a few laughs.
No hand jobs or anything. Get hand jobs out of your head, all right? Don't even think hand jobs. I don't know what you were mentioning hand jobs. I don't know what we're talking about hand jobs right
mouth
now.
Mouth stuff only.
Yeah, mouth stuff only. Yeah. But yeah, this did have one of the other fall gags. This whole movie is just relying on her falling down.
Yeah.
I guess.
So then they go and he sends out the email and then she freaks out because she can't get back in the building.
Right.
And she's with him and they're having a night together, which again, inappropriate and weird.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? If you really need to get into the building, which was really weird. She was like, I need paperwork. I don't know what the fuck she was saying. I don't know why.
I don't even know either.
She
can't
said
remember.
She needed to send a very important business email that she had left on the computer.
So she kind of, she was kind of like
not how email, but okay.
Again, but she was trying to get him to read it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then when he gets home, he gets a
I
letter.
I think she thought she could unsend it, I think is what she was trying to do.
But she had saved it for later. She was going to be like, what? Oh my God, look at this email.
At
Yeah.
Which, but yes, instead, when they get back to is it supposed to be her hotel or it's his hotel? Because he has letters waiting for him.
Their hotel. I think they're both at the hotel.
Are they sharing a room?
Why is he at the hotel?
No, because she's getting drunk. Maybe they got a whole floor of rooms or something like that.
For the wedding?
I think it's something like that. It's for the wedding that he's staying. Because I think I don't know if they're living together or what, or like he just doesn't have a home there. But either way, for whatever reason.
Well, it could also be like he can't see her before the wedding, even though he does
that
later.
Shit like
that.
Yeah, because isn't the wedding the next day?
Yes, the wedding is the next day. This is the day before the wedding.
Yeah, either way, when he gets there, there's a fax from his boss being like, hey, sorry to do this the night before your wedding.
His cool boss.
Yeah.
His boss, I thought it was going to be like, you're fired.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah, and the boss was like, hey, look at this bullshit email
that your fucking
father-in-law sent me.
Yeah.
Which is also not a testament to her.
Right.
Like Cameron Diaz in any way.
Yeah.
Right.
You could just be like, your dad's kind of a fucking dick.
Yeah.
Let's get married.
Yeah. But in the email, it's like, she specifically said, my daughter wants this too. Like, my daughter and I have this plan.
Right. Well, so and then he gets super mad because she's like, no, daddy wouldn't do that. And he's like, he fucking did.
Yeah. And he's like, she's like, you're being delusional and making stuff up and everything.
And then Julia Roberts, of course, doubles down on that and tells Cameron Diaz, like, he's being delusional because he doesn't want to get married.
Yeah. So then she has to sit outside while he's talking to Cameron Diaz. And this is where angel.
Best part of the movie.
Best part of the whole movie. Paul Giamatti walks by. He's a bellboy. And he tells her, you can't smoke. And this is not a smoking floor.
Yeah.
And then she's like, tells some fucking bullshit, too. She's even like kind of a bitch to him.
Oh, yeah, she completely carries out.
Oh, she carries out. That's right.
Yeah.
I wrote it down.
She's like, and just fucking arrest me then.
I wrote she carries out.
But, she's Julia Roberts and he's Paul Giamatti. And so he's nice to her.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's like, fine, arrest me. I'm the worst person that ever lived. I'm destroyed lives and stuff.
And Paul Giamatti being the ultimate empath and just
an amazing person.
A true amazing person is like, all right, I can tell you're having a rough day.
Yeah.
Let me sit down and help you out with this.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a moment from my day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to help you.
I'm not
even
going to kick you out for smoking.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, my grandma said, even this shall pass.
Yeah.
Which is big and nice. And then after that, I have that she has another fall gag at some point. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then he walks downstairs and he's like, oh, wait, no, that was George Harrison.
That said that. Nothing was passed. Yeah.
I was getting him confused with my grandma.
Yeah. Kind of looked
You know, tomato, tomato.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It's kind of the same thing. Anyway.
Both loved India.
Yeah. Anyway, hope I become a big star after this.
Nice.
But this is yet another fall gag. He opens the door, she falls down.
Mm-hmm.
The fall gag number 4.
That's right. Yeah.
And then this is where she's like, he's like, it's over. We broke up the wedding.
Yeah.
Which I was like, bullshit. Mm-hmm. Also bullshit. No way.
Yeah, because the brunch was still on for tomorrow.
Yeah. And he's like, we're going to tell everybody at the brunch. And I was like, yeah, don't do that. Like, just don't go. Like, yeah.
And then comes the worst fucking part of the movie. Like, I fucking hated this part.
The worst part, yeah.
The worst. No, because, the ring, she's like, the ring stuck on my finger. And so he takes her
hand. It's supposed to be like, she's like, oh my God, the ring is stuck on my finger. Isn't that so cute? And
she didn't seem like she was playing it for cute. She just seemed like really defeated. He was just like, and like, so he
isn't
takes
that so lovingly tragic.
Yeah. Right. So he takes her hand and then he just like sucks. He like deep throats her finger. Just like puts it all the way in there and just like sucks on it. I'm like, this is gross.
Again, he's
like, Was this supposed to be like a sexy thing? I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure some people find this sexy, but I just found it
was
gross.
Fucking weird. It was a weird, not
like,
sexy
thing. I hate it when people suck on my fingers. Like, I don't, like, you know, like people do that, like, during intimacy.
Sure.
They'll just, like, suck. And you're like, why are you sucking on my finger?
It's like the tongue in the ear thing. I'm like, what?
It's not good. It's not good. It's like, your dick's already in me. Why do I have to suck your finger too? Like, yeah. Get it out of my mouth.
Well, because the thing is, when you're a guy, you never know what the girl's going to be into. So you're just like, this?
That's true. You're just throwing everything.
Why would anyone be into that?
Because some people are into some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. You'll hit one and you're like, yes.
You could just ask instead of just putting
fingers
in.
We're not talkers.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, so
and we should actually just ask.
We should just be like,
do you like this? And we will not. We'll be like, no, I got this.
I got this.
I'm going to figure this shit out. Yeah. No matter what you're feeling.
I'm a smart guy.
I'm going to figure this shit out. I'm just going to throw everything at you.
It's just like, you just had that finger in my ass. Please not put it in my mouth.
They're like, no, maybe she likes this. I don't know. I'm going to try it out.
Try and see.
Yeah, no, no, I mean, like, is this okay? Yeah, nope, like, never, no. Not once.
Sex with men is the worst.
Yeah. We're the worst. Yeah, it took me a long time to figure out to just keep the rhythm. And instead of just like, oh, it's going well, I'm going to go faster.
As fast as I possibly can. It's like, oh, are you close? Okay, let me completely stop doing what I'm doing.
And
ruin
change
the
it
rhythm.
Up. Yeah. Let me go as fast and hard as I possibly can.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, you're liking this? I'm fucking changing it.
Because you'll like this. Yeah. Oh, you liked how I wasn't bruising your cervix? And let me really get in there. And just.
Yeah, that's what you meant, right?
Yeah.
With all the moaning, that's what you wanted?
God.
So then, all right. Then they have the brunch. So, well, she's like, it's going to happen. I broke up the marriage. Mission accomplished.
She's happy, sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Happy, sad. Like, it's tragic, but you know, cha-ching. Now he can give all his attention to me. Right. And then now I can reject him.
Right.
Which is all I've ever wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get the control back.
I mean, that would have, again, been maybe a little more, what's the word I'm looking for? Impactful, if she would have been like, oh, now he's all mine and I can reject him. Oh, shit.
I don't want him.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, if she would have realized it at that
moment. I won, maybe. But I could have lost. Yeah.
Yeah.
She has.
But no.
Nope. Not at all. He still goes to brunch. She freaks out.
Right. She's like, why are you here? I thought we were calling this off.
Yeah. And he's like, can you go please talk to Cameron Diaz? And Cameron Diaz is like, I don't know what's going on.
So
like,
she ends up playing telephone between the two of them. Still trying to ruin the marriage, by the way.
Yeah still. And then
still
she
very much
she has
the
creme brulee jello where she calls.
Which is like the only time where she actually relates something to food.
Thing?
Yeah.
Food critic thing. Yes, exactly. That was the only time.
I feel like that was, what do you call those people who like fix scripts? The script doctor?
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like that was a script doctor moment.
Absolutely.
That
was written after the fact.
A cleanup person. Sure. Yeah.
That was either Julia had a person or... the director had a person that was just like, we don't really have a...
We gotta punch up your script.
Yeah. That was like some third-party person who was like, she's a food critic and she never talks about food.
We have that great moment at the end when she talks to Cameron Diaz. Let's make that about food. Like, that's exactly... 100%, that's what it was.
For sure.
And that was like the only scene in the movie where I felt like, okay, like, I guess she's a food critic because she can talk about...
Creme brulee.
And even then, it wasn't
one of the
even
most
like
basic dessert.
But even then, it wasn't like it was. Yeah, like
basic
it would have
dated dessert.
Yeah, because she compares herself to Jell-O.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's fine.
It's fine. But I mean, how do I explain this? Where like the fact that she was just relating anything to food.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like,
I mean, it was
that
at
just
least
felt
a
more
step
real
in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like there should have been so much more.
So much more.
Again,
so
if it hadn't have been a thing that they added. You know, 3 days before they started shooting.
That they had to get a fucking screenwriter to come in and just fix. Yeah. And she's like, well, imagine like a perfect creme brulee, but he doesn't want creme brulee. He wants Jell-O. And Cameron is like, I can be Jell-O. And she's like,
you can never be Jell-O.
Like a fucking bitch. Like, God.
I'm like pretty sure Jell-O has a creme brulee flavor. Okay.
So. Yeah.
I'm sure they do now. They got everything now.
Mm.
And then I wrote that there was another fall gag immediately after that where Julia Roberts fell again.
I can't believe you kept track of all of
that. Yeah, I kept track because I was like, it's banking a lot on Julia Roberts falling.
Yeah.
And she's not a fucking pratfall type.
She's really
what
not.
The
she's
fuck?
Not, no.
I could see if it was like
Dick
a Chris
Van Dyke,
Farley
she is
vehicle.
Not.
So I was like, oh, it's trying to be a comedy by adding falls.
Yep. Was Chris Farley still alive?
No.
97?
Actually, maybe.
I think he was.
Because that would have been like an amazing movie if like...
He died in like 99. Yeah, he was still alive.
It would have been amazing if you made My Best Friend's Wedding, but Julia Roberts' character was
Chris Farley.
Chris Farley. Yeah.
What was it? Maid of Honor is that, right?
Yeah, but I mean...
Yeah, but nobody saw that. Yeah, it's not Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it was Chris... Okay, let's do this full flip. So Chris Farley is Julia Roberts.
Mm-hmm. That way the pratfalls make some sense.
Who's the woman that he's in love with?
Ooh.
Do you just make Julia Roberts the Michael?
We can make Julia Roberts the Michael. Sure. That might work.
Those are around the same time.
Or you can make David Spade the Michael. Like, it would have been a cool flip if he's just in love with his best friend. And it's like,
that would have been good. Yeah. And also for this time period, it would have worked out. Sure. Yeah.
And also, like...
And it would have made sense why they can't be together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have made sense because he just could have been like, "Nah, dude, I'm straight. Like, this is not."
Yes, I guess Chasing Amy did that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Around the same time, I think.
Around the same time, yeah. Where she's like, "I'm gay, motherfucker! Like, stop this."
Yeah.
No, yeah, but you get a lot of fall gags in there.
Yeah,
but it's
300-pound Chris Farley.
300-pound Chris Farley.
It makes a little more sense. Yeah. It breaks some tables.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that would have been so great. Break some tables. I wanted to see Chris Farley do karaoke.
If Julia Roberts was going to fall that many times, she could have broke some tables.
Yeah, she should have. That's all I'm
saying. Right.
At least one. So she's tall, man.
Yeah.
That's a lot of...
She's pointy. She can break
she's
stuff.
She's tall and pointy, but I guess she has a lot of time to build momentum to break some shit.
Yeah.
Or we just push her off a taller thing.
Yeah. Something.
I don't know if there is, but like, she's like the biggest actress to just get like, she did Pretty Woman and everybody's like, she's a really cute, like, beautiful girl. And then after that, just did all these fucking terrible characters. And everybody's like, yeah, but she's, you know...
It's Julia Roberts.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
And like, other than Pretty Woman, I don't think I've ever really liked her in anything.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Erin Brockovich?
Maybe.
Ocean's 11?
I, you know, okay.
Ocean's 8?
I didn't see any of those.
Yeah, I think so. She had stuff coming, right?
God, I forgot about that horrible stepmom movie she did.
Oh yeah, that's always all bad movies.
Okay, we talked about her in Hook, which no one particularly liked her in Hook.
No, everybody hated her as Tinkerbell, and she's not.
Oh
bad.
Yeah, still
Magnolia. Oh yeah,
she's
pretty good.
She's the least good part of that movie.
Yes,
her colors were blush and bashful.
Yes,
God, I love that movie.
Yeah, I don't know that she's been in a good movie.
I'm looking at her.
She's been in good movies.
Right,
she's been in good movies. Yes,
but other than Pretty Woman, I mean, she's been good in movies, but they were few and far between. It was like Pretty Woman and then Erin Brockovich.
Yeah,
and those are 20 years apart.
Her batting average, to bring it back to the Chicago White Sox, very low.
Very low. Yeah. Very low. Yeah. Better low. But we were like, yeah, but we like her though. Like,
I forgot about
audience.
America's Sweethearts. That was actually kind of good.
It was all right.
Is that who's the guy in that?
Who is the guy? It's her and Catherine Zeta.
Something
right?
Cusack.
Oh, John Cusack.
Yeah.
That's John Cusack. That's
and,
one.
And Billy Crystal's in it, apparently.
And Billy Crystal.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with John Cusack and Billy Crystal. Her average is low. It's low.
Her average is very
Her average
low.
Is really, really bad. Holy shit. Her movies are bad. She was in an American A-list Girl actor? Movie in 2004.
What's that? Yeah. No.
There's like no reason for her to have been doing an American Girl holiday in 2004.
Oh, my God.
Again, for an A-list actress, her filmography is almost inexcusable.
Yes.
She was in Michael Collins. Was that a good movie?
I'm going to say yes, but probably not because of her.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at her from home. It's just completely, thoroughly horrible. Every movie in here is bad. The only one I liked is Notting Hill, and you guys hated that movie.
I like that movie. I like Notting Hill.
I didn't hate the movie. I just hated her.
You guys should have had me on for that one.
I actually liked Notting Hill quite a bit.
Yeah, I really liked Notting Hill. I liked that it was a flip where like she was like the asshole and a terrible one. Off living life, and like the guy was the one just like
stuck on her.
Yeah. And, like,
it was a
good
flip.
Yeah, it was. I like Notting Hill quite a bit.
I mean, Notting Hill at least has jokes.
Yes.
Really good ones too.
Yeah. And it's like legitimately a funny movie. Even if I
and a very likable guy.
Even if it's a romantic comedy where I don't root for the romance in any way, it's still like a funny movie.
Yeah.
So then they're like, you know what? We're still going to get married. Well, he tells her like, no, tell her I forgive
her.
I'll marry her. And then she goes and she reluctantly is like, he's going to marry you. And she's like, oh my God, thank you. And then she right away
goes and makes out
with him. Like, it's the nuclear factor. Like, she's
The she's pressing that last button.
And this is also why I thought I had seen the movie Runaway Bride, which I have not seen, but I remembered the last scene of this movie where the bride is running away.
And you're
and
like,
I figured like that was Runaway Bride.
I think I saw Runaway Bride.
Sure I saw Runaway Bride.
I thought that same shit too. I was like, I remember Runaway Bride came out. Is it the same shit? Is that what it is? Like, but she runs away, but then she falls in love with him, I guess?
I don't know, because evidently I've never seen it. Even though apparently. For 25 years, I saw Runaway Bride. Not the case.
She used a nuclear option by being like, hey, listen, like, I love you. Like, she tells him straight out, I'm in love with you. Yeah. And she goes in for the kiss.
Cameron Diaz sees him, freaks out, starts running away.
He runs after
Cameron
her.
Cameron Diaz freaks out, starts running after her.
She steals a bread truck or some stupid car.
She runs after them.
It's playing a romantic song.
And then the one kind of funny moment, she calls George while chasing them in this bread truck. And
once again, ruining his day.
Ruining his day, of course. Yeah. But being like, I told him, and it's gone all wrong.
And this is where Harry Shearer is reading.
That's right.
Yeah. He's like the author, and he's reading the fucking book. That's I was like, holy shit, that's Harry Shearer.
Yeah, Harry Shearer.
Yeah.
Simpsons legend.
Yeah. A great voice.
Great voice.
Also, like, from the, like, Mighty Wind and all those.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
No, he's been
in
a lot of movies.
Like, how many movies he just shows up in.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He shows up in a ton of movies.
Yeah. I mean, he's, like, a character.
Is he a Christopher Guest regular, or was he just in
Yes, he is.
Okay, I thought so.
But he has also the best fucking monologue in the whole movie. Or not one of the best monologue, but the best things. He tells her, like, who's chasing you?
Yeah.
Get it through your fucking head.
Yeah, exactly. He's chasing her. You're chasing him. Who's chasing you?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, understand this shit. Like, swallow your pride and say goodbye. Like, it's over.
Yeah.
Which I was like, yes, finally. Somebody fucking stood up to this bitch.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And told her what's what.
Well, in fairness, I mean, his advice before was just like, hey, if it, you know, you just got to tell him and
be open with him.
Just, it's what it is. Yeah.
Tell him you love him and he says no, then walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she finds him in the train station, right? The Untouchables
station. There's a slow motion baby carriage where they have to shoot Cameron Diaz in the face with a shotgun.
Echoing
and catch
Battleship
a baby.
Potemkin.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, and catch a baby and walk down.
A great climax.
Great climax. Yeah.
That would be awesome if that happened.
That would be amazing. Yeah. Like, well, we're in the location.
Same universe.
Yeah.
I mean, she did call herself like Al Capone at one point. So, I mean, it's all.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then we get the scene. It's like one of the quoted scenes where she's like, I'm scum. I'm lower than scum. And he's like, you're the pus that grows on the bacteria that whatever that feeds off of the scum and all this stuff. And she's like, yeah. And then she's like, you know what? Maybe they should be married. And I'm like, oh, fuck you, bitch.
Yeah.
But it does have my other... I mean, that George scene is pretty good.
Yeah. And but then the Cameron Diaz in the bathroom.
The Cameron Diaz in the bathroom scenes is pretty good.
Yeah.
That was like, I was like, this is a pretty good scene.
Yeah, that's not bad.
She finds Cameron Diaz hiding
in the
bathroom.
Anytime you can get a group of women to be like, oh, no, she didn't, girl.
Yep. But Cameron Diaz comes out and immediately is like, you showed up to, I called you my maid of honor, you showed up to ruin my marriage. And then immediately Julia Roberts is still like, well, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
Like immediately started, and I'm like, God damn it.
Just take the loss.
Grovel, bitch. Just, grovel.
You were so close at me being like, take it. You know, you're taking your lumps. And you know, you gotta be a bitch again?
You
like,
still
don't like you.
At least she's true to her character.
That's true. I mean, she's consistent.
The writing's very consistent.
She is consistently a cunt bitch.
Yes. Yeah. She
does. Francisco has like literally one page of notes. I love it.
Yeah, one page of notes. And then the back.
I have no notes.
Was that she still tries to like justify shit to Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
But then everybody's like, cat fight. And and it's also a bathroom with 400 women in it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because
at
a White Sox game. Fucking stadium or something.
It's supposed to be at the White Sox game.
Yeah. White Sox game. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And I totally believe the owner is using one of the public bathrooms. Like, they don't have a private bathroom.
It's also, like the big coincidence they use it in this. She calls the slut cousin. And then that's when it was like, oh, there's a big commotion because the other cousin licked Michelangelo's ice penis and got stuck to it. Yeah.
That's which right. I forgot about that.
It would have been funny if they would have shown it, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But she's like, oh, yeah. And she's like, have you heard from Cameron Diaz, from Kimberly? And then she's like, oh, yeah, some rando called me and said that he saw her at the White Sox game. And I was like, why? Why would a guy call you and be like, I just saw Kimberly at the White Sox game? Yeah. It's just you and their big coincidence.
Yep. Yep.
At the end. So that's when she goes and then they have the whole sequence. She finally is like, all right, you're right. I'm sorry, you deserve him. And Cameron Diaz is like, yay, will you still be my maid of honor? And I was like, bullshit.
Yep.
Nope.
Bullshit.
It's more like, you are not invited to our house ever in your fucking life.
And why wasn't she the best man if she's this dude's best friend?
Yeah. She got, because back then, you know. Because
the brother.
The brother.
Yeah, I guess.
No, it's bullshit.
It's all bullshit. Bullshit movie.
But yeah, no, there's
it's
no
a bullshit
way.
Bullshit movie.
There's no way that you're still the maid of honor.
And it was like you're married, and then, like we said, Paul Giamatti does not show up at the end. Instead, George shows up and has a very cute and fun.
Well,
there, fun
first
call.
Of all, it's a it's a 1,000 people wedding. It's a 10 million
well, it's
people.
It's a billionaire's wedding.
Yeah. And then, but then the song. She's
this is the part that really pissed me off.
Yeah, where she's like, I didn't get you a gift, but I got you this. Other people singing the song that you used to serenade me.
Yeah.
And I was like, what signal are you fucking sending? Like,
fucking you know, it should have been like, hey, I know you guys don't have a song, so I thought about this song for you. Not like, here's my old song, enjoy. Just,
yeah. And also, I'm not singing it.
Yeah.
These two chicks are singing it.
Like, she should have come up with like a whole new song just for them.
But, and she should have sang it.
And she should have sang it.
Yeah. She should have sang it.
It should have been about how, you know. Remember that bitch that tried to ruin your wedding? Fuck her.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any song like that, but I mean it.
No,
I mean,
there's got to
write
one.
Yeah.
There's got to be a country song.
Like that's what I was going to say. It's going to be a country hit.
Some Loretta Lynn song that they could just like.
Some Loretta Lynn song. Yeah. For reals.
Yeah. Definitely find a fuck that bitch song.
It would have been hilarious if she just busted out with a pill. Wine me, you dine me. The whole thing.
And she, like, she starts off the speech with, like, I had a dream that somebody tried to break up your wedding. And I was like, not cute.
No.
Not cute at
You're
all.
Just bringing up old shit, man. Like, you're bringing up shit.
It's not old enough to be funny at this point.
I can feel Cameron Diaz.
Just happened an hour ago.
Yes.
Yeah. I can feel like Cameron Diaz being like, come the fuck on, man.
Give her a microphone.
Yeah. Give her a microphone. Why is she even in the wedding still? We are not friends ever from this point on.
Never.
Ever.
Michael, you're not allowed to see her.
You are not allowed to see her. She could have definitely cut Cameron Diaz out, but he also could have been like, I can't be friends with you. You're a fucking psycho chick.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that would have made more sense it would have made more sympathy, I suppose, for Michael and Cameron Diaz's character rather than her demanding it, if he would have been like, Julia, nah.
Yeah, you can't come.
You can't come. You're out. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, this is a bridge too far. Like, we've been good friends, but.
See, and then
I'm choosing Kimberly, so you're out of my life.
She's sitting in, like, a shitty place by herself.
Yeah.
Not at the wedding. And then George shows up.
And then Paul Giamatti shows up.
Paul Giamatti shows up.
Or George, or both.
Oh, yeah, both. It
just
matter.
A crazy polygamous three-way.
But she doesn't.
Well, George already has a husband. Like, remember the answering machine? It's George and Warren.
That's right.
Oh,
we never see. Yeah, we never see his partner, but he's there.
Oh, okay.
We see the back of him at the dinner party.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
There's a lot of people at the dinner party.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah. She does not deserve to be in the wedding. She does not deserve what George does next, which is a very, very sweet moment that is wasted on Julia Roberts because she's the worst.
Just so much charisma from that guy.
Yes. And he does. It's a very romantic fucking scene. That again,
that's why I left this movie at 14 being like, oh, well, like he's in love with her. Because that was super romantic.
But it also feels like this is a scene from a previous draft.
Yes.
Where there was an actual guy doing a romantic thing for her.
Yes.
And then they were like, but I really like that scene. Can we get George to do it?
Yeah, just have George do it.
I guess fine.
I just feel based on nothing but a vague memory, like that character was changed because of who they cast, that he was like, no, I'm not playing straight. I want to play a gay. And
it could be. Maybe in the original it was supposed to be that they end up together, and it was that whole...
I feel like that's what
happened. Which would have been better.
I remember when this movie came out, how everyone made such a big deal. Like, Rupert Everett was like the breakout star.
He was.
But everyone
was
like, and he's gay. Oh my god, he's gay, you guys.
Yeah.
And he's playing gay.
Yeah, no, it was 97, still kind of a
big
deal.
This is at the time where it was like, gay was a big thing.
Yeah. Sure.
It was like, Ellen is going to do a gay thing on the show? Like,
Yeah,
it was like a big deal if you did something gay.
Yeah, it was a huge deal
that...
Only closed mouth kisses.
Yeah, it was a huge deal that he was like this gay man and he was getting to play a gay character. And they're like, wow, they're letting you be gay. And he's like, yeah, they're letting me be gay.
It wasn't like a caricature of a gay character.
Yeah.
It was like an actual just gay dude.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like he was supposed to be the love interest.
Yes.
They're like, no,
but they changed it. It's quite possible. Quite possible.
Because it's the only way.
More than likely. Yes. Yeah. Because the scene is super sweet, super romantic. Mm. She does not deserve it. And it's way too romantic for him being a gay guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her best friend.
Yeah.
He should have been very catty and been like, let's get fucked up drunk on wine.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you need that right now, girl. Yeah. Like, that's, I feel like that.
Much more realistic.
Much more realistic. Yeah. Yeah.
Getting
yeah.
fucked up on wine and dancing made sense, but he's like, yeah, they'll be like laughing and flirting yes. and dancing, yes. but like no sex. I'm like, ugh.
But instead, he's like, maybe we won't have sex, maybe not, but you will get to dance. And yeah. it's like, yeah. yeah.
No, you guys need to be like catty and make fun of, like, hang out with the vengeful sluts.
Yes, that would have been the best if they weren't in that table like, together.
Yeah, oh my god, like,
fucked up been... with the vengeful sluts and yeah. had a great night.
That's
yes. what, just had a crazy party.
That
night.
Sounds like a yes. great fucking night.
Yeah, that does better. Sound like a great.
Yeah,
fucking
yeah,
night.
Hell yeah. So yeah, so that's the end of this movie. Very underwhelming. I was like, oh, well, I didn't like any of that.
No.
It was such a long
I gotta
movie.
Say, I just did not approve yeah. of one single moment of that.
I did not.
I appreciate that. And I don't appreciate you doing that to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's literally what I was about to text you at the end of this movie. I was like, God yeah. damn it, Eric. All Who these rom-coms you? I want to do, and this is the
and
one.
This is the one.
Like, right. I'm like, how did I piss you off?
It
how,
is high.
How did
this
I
This was actually Francisco's idea. So
you,
I pushed this on Francisco.
Well, I was like, it's December. We usually do like a Christmassy one. And I was like, oh, Erica. Also, I yeah. thought that maybe it was an okay movie.
Yeah.
No, no.
We didn't realize.
No, I
so
demand
high up on
a
the
do-over
list.
Because this was just bad.
Yeah, we
this
didn't
was
know.
Just bad.
All right, so let's...
It was so high up on the list that I thought I was... well, not it was higher up than I thought it was going to be. That was going to be. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, it's got to be
yeah,
like...
Yeah, where is it? Let me see the list.
Some
let me
redeeming...
Let me look at the next romantic comedy that we have coming up. Let's see.
Some redeeming... There's got to
yeah,
be some
I don't trust
colors.
Your taste. Let me pick.
No, I'm looking at the next romantic comedy.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a while.
Runaway Bride.
Fuck no.
Oh, my God.
I'm not doing it. No.
Julia Roberts,
Julia
man.
Julia Roberts.
No.
And she's
and
a shitty
bad.
Person in that one, too,
let
because
see,
she keeps leaving guys at the altar. That's what she's known for, like a ripe bitch would do.
well,
like, what the fuck, man?
Wanted it to be with Richard Gere.
Yeah.
Like, that was the big thing.
Because of Pretty Woman.
Pretty
was,
woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But the whole concept of the movie is I already hate her.
Yeah.
yeah.
As good as it gets.
That's a good
oh,
movie.
Oh, yeah. As good as it gets. That's a good movie. That's a very good movie. Good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys could have had me for that.
I mean, we might.
True Lies. Oh,
that's
God.
Not a romantic comedy.
That was a romantic comedy. That was a really good movie.
That is a good movie.
That was a really good movie. A very good romantic comedy.
These are all movies that we have not yet talked
about. Yeah,
we
have not talked about any of those. So we can still come up for As Good As It Gets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. No, I'm
just you guys do Sister Act yet? I can't remember.
Not yet.
No.
No, but we're going to get a real Benedict nun.
Yeah.
You guys did The Bodyguard. I know you did The Bodyguard.
We did The Bodyguard, yes.
Yeah, I was a little salty about that one, too.
Really?
Yes. I fucking love The Bodyguard.
Really?
God, it's so bad.
Well, I like
it's
the music in Bodyguard, I should say. I like making fun.
Yes,
of
that was one of the jokes was the soundtrack that somebody was like, we should put pictures to this.
That's literally what that was.
That's exactly what that fucking movie is.
And they want to remake it, and I want them to remake it with Lizzo.
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome.
But she
and Kevin Costner.
And yeah, just, yeah. Bring Kevin Costner back, like the same character and everything.
It's like, all right, I get why they're not supposed to be together.
Yeah.
He's a 72-year-old man and she's Lizzo.
yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we got to the end of the movie. How do we fix this movie?
I feel like we've only been talking about how to fix this movie.
I mean,
movie.
There's so many ways. Chris Farley, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it a Chris Farley for pratfall comedy.
It'd be nice if in the very beginning, Julia Roberts finds out that the whole kitchen staff is just rats.
Yeah,
that would have been awesome.
What if Michael is being controlled by a rat the whole time?
Oh my God!
And so she's actually in love with the rat.
Oh, and she ends up with the rat at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on board
so
with this.
Cameron yes. Diaz can still end up with Michael. She still ends up with the rat. Everybody's happy.
Yeah, and then that part in the train station, he's like, "I got something I got to tell you."
Yeah,
this rat has been controlling everything that I do.
Do and say.
He just like springs out of his big fluffy '90s hair.
Yeah,
he's
big
like sport. This rat knows rat, all about
writes all my sports
on base percentages.
He's,
and
he's a fucking prodigy in the sport world.
Yeah,
and he's been controlled. That perfect guy that you see, that's been
the rat.
That's been
the rat the
but then isn't that who Kimmy
that's
fell
been
in love with?
Up
yeah.
here.
That is true. But you know,
no, but Kimmy.
But she's 20, so he's like, yeah.
She can't tell the difference.
She's 20, so he's like, yeah, I'm keeping the 20-year-old. What are you insane?
You can take the rat.
You can take the rat, though.
Yeah. You keep the rat. I'll take the 20-year-old billionaire.
if you ever miss having sex with a human man, just put him on a human man's head.
Just give him to George.
Yeah. Control George. Yeah. Give him George. Give George some Ambien.
Yeah, exactly.
In the middle of the night, you're good to go.
Roofie George. Yeah,
Roofie George. Put the rat on his head.
I mean, she could just get Paul Giamatti.
We already know she's a terrible person, so she'll do it.
Like she could have just put the rat on top of Paul Giamatti, and then that would have...
Paul Giamatti is already an amazing human being. Yeah, Paul Giamatti is already the rat.
Yeah. Oh my God, and Paul Giamatti is the rat.
Yes.
Paul Giamatti also plays the voice of the rat.
Yes. Yeah, he's already like that, the
or
best
we
person.
Just shrink him down like the brownies in the Willow and put Paul Giamatti on top of Michael's head.
I don't know where he's just like, I don't do this. This tiny little fucking miniature person does that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's Paul Giamatti. He's like, hey, what's up?
Let's go smoke.
And then it's like a Cyrano type of deal.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly like that. Actually.
Yeah, but it is. And then you fall in love with that dude.
But is Chris Farley still in this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to get some jokes in here somehow.
And Peter Dinklage. Why not? Yeah. He's in the new Cyrano.
He's in the new one, yeah.
So it's with Peter Dinklage in it.
That would be an interesting remake.
What if in this, is his new Cyrano musical, they just like ridiculously put here Peter Dinklage in like his hat. He just has a giant hat on his head. Or like a backpack.
A backpack is in there.
And if you're thinking like,
disrespectful to one of the great actors of the 21st
century.
He's like
one of the best actors.
of the last fucking 15 years. Like, you kept bringing up Cyrano and I wasn't sure why, but
it's because Peter Dinklage is going to play Cyrano,
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but it's like very humiliating.
Yeah.
When is that coming out? I want to watch the
and
shit.
And Warwick Davis is like, fuck you, dude. I did this for 30 years.
I was a backpack guy. Are you kidding me?
Name a tiny creature in a fucking movie from the 80s to the 90s, and that was me.
Well, we got Peter Dinklage, and he's hot, so sorry.
Yeah, exactly. He's one of the greatest actors that we have.
Yeah. Reboot Willow, Peter Dinklage?
Yeah, no, it's too intense.
Yeah. It'd be a different movie.
It would be a different movie. Yeah. He would like be the Mad Mardigan.
Oh, shit. Maybe you just reverse everything.
What are Peter Dinklage?
Peter Dinklage is Mad Mardigan, and then you get...
Willow's just a big dude?
Yeah. You get just a big... I don't know.
But the whole world?
I was going to say Jon Snow, but he's basically Peter Dinklage's size, let's be real.
5'2". Peter Dinklage could 100% beat him in a fight.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
Okay, so get Sophie Turner instead, because she's like 6 feet
tall.
She
is very tall.
Yeah, she's very tall.
Yeah.
Actually, Sophie Turner, that would be really interesting.
As Willow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Sophie Turner as Willow. Peter Dinklage as Mad Mardigan. Mm-hmm. All right.
Now we're talking.
And that's how we improve my best friend's
wedding.
That's
how we save my best friend's wedding.
Just make a reboot of Willow.
We fixed it.
Yeah, we did. We fixed it.
Good job,
reverse
guys.
Willow.
Reverse Willow. You hear the gift that never keeps on...
Never stops giving.
Yeah.
Never keep on keeping on.
Yep.
All right. So next week, we'll be back with the third or fourth appearance of the 90s biggest comedy superstar, Mr. Jimethan Carey.
Oh, awesome.
God, it's Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, yes. Awesome.
You guys have to do the Nutty Professor. That sucks.
Oh, yeah. And it's ahead of Dumb and Dumber.
It is ahead of Dumb and Dumber. Somehow made more money than Dumb and Dumber.
So join us for that. Until then, I'd like to thank Erica for joining us for this just bad movie.
Thank you for powering through.
Yeah. Thank you for getting through it.
To be honest, I didn't actually finish the movie.
All right. That's all right. We finished it for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I don't know when this is going to post, but, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, all that shit. And we'll see you next year.
Yeah, don't worry. I found a really good Christmas movie for us to watch.
We're probably not going to do that.
It's probably going to be bad. Yeah. We're watching Christmas in July.
Yeah.
Maybe.
For sure.
Maybe we'll get around to it.
Until then, we'll watch
Santa with Muscles and talk all about that.
No. Santa with Muscles?
Is that a Hulk Hogan movie?
Okay.
We won't actually do that.
Please like, share, subscribe.
Yeah.
Tell your friends.
Check out the Patreon,
rate
on iTunes. Yeah. Please spread the news. Please spread the good word about our Lord and Savior, Blockbuster Nostalgia Podcast, that died for your sins 2,000 years ago on this date.
Yeah. In a very brutal way.
In a very brutal way. Yeah. Until then, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Lundy.
I'm Erica Lita.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.